Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are commemorating the passing of His Eminence Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran and the founder of the Islamic Revolution. This great persona who has changed history and has changed the history of mankind as well, based upon the tenets of Islam and the Holy Quran. In order to talk about the personality of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh, we have invited Sheikh Muzaffar Haider from the United Kingdom to come and talk about this great personality, inshallah, with us today. Let's go ahead and invite him. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the talk show.
Wa alaikum salam, thanks for having me, jazakallah.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider. So we're talking about Imam Khomeini. Of course, this is commemorating the passing of His Eminence Imam Khomeini, right, which occurs on the 4th of June. And of course, it was 1989. But a personality that I think is not only rarely understood by Muslims, but he is definitely rarely understood by non-Muslims, and an individual who is really a person who created a turning point in the history of humanity. And with that, if you want to, bismillah, go ahead and start.
Yeah, no, actually, Imam Khomeini is somebody who is a profound personality, really, right. Really profound. The things I'm going to say might sound like crazy, but no, we have to really retrospect and look at what this person was. They say that a person like Imam Khomeini doesn't come around except every once in a hundred years. You could even argue once in a thousand years with a personality like Imam Khomeini. The things that he did, the revival of the religion that he accomplished, was a miracle. We have to understand that first and foremost. This is a man who performed a miracle bi-idhnillah, and that was to resuscitate a dying or dead religion. It was on the deathbed, you know, it was on the deathbed. It was like on a hospital bed. It was Imam Khomeini who was the doctor who brought, you know, when they electrocute them.
Right.
He resuscitated the religion.
I don't know if you want to talk about a little bit about these examples of, because some people might say, no, you know, the Islamic Ummah or the Muslims, they were in a really good position. But I think it's important for people to know that, you know, as you very eloquently put, Islam was in a position where it was pretty much dying. If you go to the historical context before the Islamic Revolution, right, the Ottoman Empire had broken up, the central leadership of the Muslims had failed, colonial powers, had invaded Muslim lands, whether it was Iraq or Syria, Iran itself, Pakistan, India.
The Zionists had invaded Palestine. They were expanding throughout the Muslim world.
Right.
Islam was dead.
And that's Islam was dead.
But let's look at it socially as well. Where were the scholars? The scholars were in their basements. They were in the corners of their masjids.
Right.
I always get torn between saying mosque and masjid.
Yeah.
I want to use the word masjid. It's a preferred term. That was the state of Islam. Muslims were, especially the scholars, because you've got to take it from the top of the religious kind of spectrum. Those scholars were nothing to do with society, nothing to do with political affairs. Let's talk about those things which are pseudo-religious, but they don't actually benefit the people in any way.
Right.
And then when you bring it back to the political spectrum, Islam had no representation.
Yes.
On the political sphere, right?
The
people of Islam had none of that.
This idea of amal bil ma'aruf and nahi anil munkar, these things were, you know, not seen on the societal level. It's very interesting. And plus, Islam was being put into this very individualistic, it's only a religion confined to yourself and to your home.
Look what the Western world did with its religion, right? They divided the church and the state, right? So the religious preachers in the Western world, they were consigned to just their churches, to just their synagogues, to just their temples, and you just preach to a certain group of people, and that's it. You don't actually have, your religion has no role whatsoever in the state or in the actual affairs, the practical affairs of the people.
So
we have to also recognize this. His name is Ruhullah,
right?
The spirit of Allah. It's as if Allah, out of His mercy at this point in the 20th century, decided to inject some of His spirit into humanity.
Right.
He didn't just uplift the Shias. He didn't just uplift the Sunnis in the Muslim world at large. He uplifted spirituality throughout the globe.
Yes.
Right? He awoke religiosity. throughout the planet.
Right. Yeah. God bless Imam Khomeini. And that, no, this is true.
It sounds like we're saying over-exalting him.
This is the truth.
That's what he did.
Yeah, so for example, I mean, I just want to add to what you're saying, is we were witnessing on this global level that religion had been sidelined, and not just, I mean, just like that, religion in general, whether it was Christianity or Judaism or whatever, religion itself had been sidelined from all of these affairs, you know, and here you have Imam Khomeini saying that no, religion is not only a fundamental pillar of all of these socio-political, cultural affairs, but matter of fact, it is a guiding factor in these affairs.
Yeah. Economic affairs too.
Yes.
In the Western world, you had capitalism,
right?
You had liberal democracy. And in the Eastern world, you had communism, right? Which was, devoid of God, socio-political and economic structure,
right?
And the rest of the world was just simply told, which one do you choose, this or that, right? It was Imam Khomeini who came and said, neither East nor West, Islam is the best.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You want to hear it. This is the reality. If you want a personality who we can see through video and audio, in today's world, who resembles the prophets and imams most, it would be Imam Khomeini.
Right.
It sounds strange for me to say this, but so that the youths can really connect. If you want to see a mini prophet, it's Imam Khomeini. In today's world.
And if you bring it to, because somebody might say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? This is really, kind of outlandish or something. But if you look at the upbringing of Imam Khomeini, if you look at the educational and spiritual progress throughout these years, until he becomes, as you said, a mini prophet, it's all firmly rooted and based upon the Holy Quran, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, the Ahadith. And so he really embodied these teachings of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt.
Imam Khomeini, just by looking at his face, you get closer to God.
Right.
You know the Ahadith that say that to look at the face of a scholar is an act of worship?
Yes.
This is the type of scholar. And so when people say, why do you have pictures of Imam Khomeini? No, it's because the Prophet said looking at that face will take you closer to Allah.
Right.
Right. And then when you look at his behavior, right, we take it to socio-political dynamics, but hold on, let's look at his personal dynamics in his household first.
Yes.
Of all,
yes.
Right. Usually when you see Imam Khomeini, he has a very frowning face. That is Imam Khomeini's face, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. But then when you see him in his house, when you see him in certain places, he smiles.
Yeah.
Now you tell me, doesn't his entire face change when he smiles?
It does, man. It's a very charming, a very, inviting smile. It's really very beautiful when you do see it.
When you see it, it makes you want to smile. Yeah, yeah. There was a moment where his wife was washing the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up to her, he takes the clothes from her, and he's upset. And he says, this is not your job. There was a time where he goes and he rolls up his sleeves and he starts washing the dishes in somebody else's house. Right, when other people are there.
This is amazing.
Right, and they said, Haji Agha is coming to wash the dishes. This is Imam Khomeini.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Right, and he had such a loving attitude towards his grandchildren as well. My man is making... Imagine if you had Imam Khomeini as your grandfather.
Yeah.
Right? And that is how we feel about him.
Yeah.
Right, the revolutionaries really feel like he is our spiritual grandfather.
Yes, mashallah. That's so you were talking originally, you talked about some of the things that, you had brought up these things that you wanted to bring up. We had just talked about the first one, which was the resuscitation and the bringing back to life of the Muslims and the Islamic Ummah. I don't know if you want to go to the second point that you wanted to state.
So one of the profound characteristics of Imam Khomeini is the fact that he believed in the promises of Allah.
He believed in the promises of Allah.
In the promises of Allah. Okay, so there are so many promises that Allah has made throughout the Quran. And for myself, when I read it, it's just like, okay, you read it and you move on. But for Imam Khomeini, he believed in it, right?
Yeah.
The Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu aminu, right? It says, O you who believe, believe.
Believe.
Right? Because belief on one level is just, I believe in it.
Right.
In other words, I don't reject it, right?
But I don't believe in it, but I believe in it. I believe in it,
But there's another thing, to believe.
How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of the Qur'an, you see, this is such a very, an aspect of the psychology of a human being, You know, sometimes really, it's really, I don't know, amazing how the Quran does connect with you. This is, you know, yeah, I believe. And look at how beautifully the Quran has phrased this. Is all you who believe, believe.
That's it. Yeah. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. Others have experienced it too. When you choose, because belief is a choice. Right. This is one thing that we have to understand. It's a choice that every human being can make. Right. It's not like, oh, I believe that the sky exists because I've seen it. Or that's not belief. That's not iman. Iman is a choice that you make. I believe this to be true, therefore I'm going to act on it. He had this form of iman, this true belief. And so when the Quran says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, Allah does not burden, burden a soul except to the extent of its ability.
Right.
He believed it.
Right.
Any one of us would get overwhelmed. And we do. I mean, I know I do.
I do too.
We see all the problems that exist in the Ummah, right? We're like, okay, media is in ruins. Youths don't understand Islam. We have atheists. We have Takfiri Wahhabis. We have the Zionists. We have so many problems, social, economic, political problems. I just can't do it. You get overwhelmed.
Right.
One who reads this verse and believes in it, he'll get this itminan, this peace, this tranquility. Like
tranquility.
Allah's not burdening me more than the extent that I can bear.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini believed in it. And so he was able to take those steps, step by step. One of the beautiful things that I personally learned from Imam Khomeini is something that I was taught when I was a child, which was this, that look, Imam Khomeini, when he had brought the Islamic Revolution, when he had brought this tremendous change, somebody came to him and they said, how do you feel? You know, you must feel great. You know, you raise your hand. Everybody looks at you and they all go, Ya Khomeini, you know, we're with you. They all start saying they start saying Takbir.
Yeah.
This must make
you like
feel
this,
so...
Yeah, the super king, super... I mean, I don't know what...
You become like...
Yeah.
Okay. He said, I feel nothing.
Ahsan.
I feel nothing.
It's a total state of
the people love you. How do you feel? Yeah. I feel nothing.
Yeah.
Can you explain it? He said that, look, if they loved me for what I say, I'd still say it. I mean, it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
If they hated me for what I say, I would still say it.
Right.
Right.
It makes because no it's difference. The truth.
It's the truth. It's the right thing.
Yeah.
Now, if we contemplate over that, it will change our characteristics and our behavior so much. It would no longer, you know, the factors that usually cause us so much stress, pain, turmoil, and actually lead us towards hellfire in the long run,
right.
They would just be alleviated because we'd know, you know, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The Quran also says, إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم.
Hmm.
If you help Allah, Allah will help you and make firm your feet. Right? Now, I read it and I just move on. Imam Khomeini read it and believed it. And by the way...
And God did make his steps firm.
This is how much he loved the Quran and how much he would read the Quran.
Yeah.
He goes to the doctor and the doctor says that your eyes have become weak and you need to read the Quran less. He was so attached to the Quran, right? You need to read the Quran less.
Right.
He says...
What kind of doctor is this?
No. Because he was probably straining, you know.
Yeah,
when people who read a lot, they end up straining their eyes. And he was very old at this point as well, right? Okay, what kind of doctor is this? He said, I have eyes to read Quran.
Subhanallah.
If I don't read the Quran, what's the point of my eyes?
Right.
Allahu Akbar. You see, that's a real doctor.
No, that's what Imam Khomeini said.
That's what I'm saying. Imam Khomeini is the real doctor.
He's the real doctor, son. He's the doctor of humanity in the modern world. And, you know, he was truly connected to Imam Zaman. And there are a lot of great prominent scholars who would attest to this. And it becomes pretty clear from the way that he acted and the certain things that he did. One person, one of the greats, we hear from him that put your ear by the lips of Khomeini because his ear is by the lips of Imam Zaman. Also, one of the great scholars of the time, he said that you should dissolve yourself into Khomeini, just as Khomeini dissolved himself into Islam.
Right, right. It might have been Imam Musa Sadr, perhaps, but
Shahid
you know,
Sadr. I didn't want to say.
Just in case, but that's the quote: is you should dissolve, you should diffuse. It's almost like osmosis into Imam Khomeini because Imam Khomeini is, and really the embodiment of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. I don't know, you might have had a third point also you wanted to talk about Imam Khomeini.
Man, we could go on all day. Yeah. It's Imam Khomeini, right?
Yeah.
Rahbar, by the way, Imam Khomeini, he says that Imam Khomeini, you should take his words as hujjah.
Subhanallah.
And that's a huge, you know, when you translate hujjah, it becomes
argument. Yeah, proof, argument, evidence, but no, hujjah is...
Like, how would you... describe that. Hujjah is like, this is an evident proof that, you know...
Almost like a seal.
Yeah, it's a seal.
Done deal.
It's a done deal. If the Imam said something, take it as a done deal.
Yeah.
And so we have Imam Khomeini himself talking about Imam Khomeini in such an exalted way. It is unbelievable. We've seen that Imam Khomeini, and you can find the videos online actually, when Imam Khomeini, Sayyid Ali Khomeini, comes into the vicinity, Imam Khomeini stands up from his place out of respect for him.
Yeah, this is amazing.
In another place, we see that when Imam Khomeini is talking about Imam Khomeini, he says, Agha Khomeini, Salamullah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right? So imagine the status of Imam Khomeini, that Imam Khomeini, this great personality, is talking about him in such an exalted manner.
Yeah.
What must this current Waliul Faqih, what must his status be? Subhanallah.
Right.
But coming back to the words of Imam Khomeini and taking them as hujjah, two books.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And these two books are incredible. The first of them is Chil Hadith, 40 right. Hadith, 40 right?
Okay.
40 Hadith, when you see the title, it's not that great of a title, is it?
Yeah.
It's 40 Hadith. And there's lots of different books called 40 Hadith as well. And you're expecting it to be like a little book that will have 40 Hadith in it. But that's not what it is.
Yeah,
40 Hadith by Imam Khomeini is a spectacular book.
It is, yeah. It is, yeah.
It's a book that if you pick it up and start reading it, it will feel like Imam Khomeini is your personal spiritual instructor and guide.
Right,
as
mashallah.
Though he has become your teacher, and he's guiding you through the steps of self-purification.
Yeah, wow.
And that's not coming from any old scholar. No, it's coming from Imam Khomeini himself, who's actually walked the walk.
Right.
You know, he really did free himself from so many of the dunyawi things that exist.
Yeah, and because he went through this spiritual training and he walked the walk, as you said. So the first book was 40 Hadith. What's the second book?
Second book is a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
Okay, and a lot of people who try to read it will be a little bit like, oh, it's too much. But it's called Adab al-Salah, the disciplines of the prayer. And he had written a book before this called The Secrets of Prayer.
Right.
But Adab al-Salat, he actually made it more accessible to the common people so they would be able to understand it as well. Because a lot of it is coded, a lot of it is discussing those essential secrets.
Metaphysical type, spiritual wayfaring.
How to attain that high status in the salah. And if your salah is correct, then all of your amal will be accepted, inshallah. And I think we need to mention a point about that. And I told you, we could talk about this all day. I know that we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Look, there are two videos that I want, especially the youths out there, to go and watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a video that I find myself going and watching a lot. And it's the video that you can find online of Imam Khomeini reciting Maghrib prayers.
Sure.
Okay. Maghrib prayers, he's reciting them. And it's an old, gritty video. But try to imitate him. At least Zahiran, imitate what he's doing. The speed that he's praying in, the tone that he has and all of those things. How he bows, how he rises up as well. Bearing in mind that he was an old man when this is filmed, right? So if you're a youth watching it, you don't need to do it exactly in that way. You could stand up in a more youthful manner.
But at least you see this meditation, this focus, this attention to Allah.
Yeah, but that's just the Zahir. That's just apparent, right? What's going on inside, you can never tell.
Yeah, that's a different universe.
Right? There's two scholars. Two of them are praying in exactly the same way. One of them is going to heaven. One of them is going to hell. You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
Because one of them is attentive. One of them isn't.
Yeah.
That's the first video. The second video is Imam Khomeini in his last moments when he's praying. He's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's
practically on his deathbed. Yeah.
The people who were with him, they felt ashamed because they wanted to actually help Imam Khomeini to stand. And he said, no, just stand there. If I fall, then you can help me or something. But he's, and then those last moments where he can't even stand anymore, and he's, you know, somebody is putting the turba onto his forehead for him. Those are the last moments of his life.
Yeah.
If you want to know who is real and who's not, look at them at the last moments of their life.
Yeah. You know, Sheikh Muzaffar, I think that's such a beautiful place to end the talk show. May Allah bless and elevate the soul and the rank of Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah alayh. Waqan, really, truly an inspiration and a role model for every single one of us, Muslim or non-Muslim. And we want to thank you for taking time out and helping us to commemorate this passing of Imam Khomeini.
Jazakallah.
Thank you. And dear viewers, again, thank you for joining us as well. We were commemorating the passing of Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless him and elevate his rank. Until another talk show, that's all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.